Did you know nearly 75% of people have subscriptions they've forgotten about? Do you think you are part of that 75%? I really didn't think that I would be, but when asked to list out all the subscriptions I paid for, one or two slipped through the cracks that I totally forgot about, one of which was for something that I swore I canceled forever ago. Think about it. Between streaming platforms, apps, delivery services, and even parenting / kid subscriptions, though they all seem like small amounts, when pulled together, that's a pretty big chunk of your spending money out the door. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of 500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features. Stop wasting time on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/morningcup. That's rocketmoney.com/morningcup. rocketmoney.com/morningcup. Today's podcast is brought to you by newspapers.com, the ultimate destination for exploring the mysteries of the past. If you're fascinated by true crime, get ready to dive into the stories that made headlines. Newspapers.com offers a billion pages of historical newspapers from the U.S. and beyond, and you can search the entire collection in seconds. Their vast newspaper collection is a goldmine for eyewitness accounts, crime scene photos, news reports, and more. Whether you're interested in famous crimes or long-forgotten cases, newspapers.com gives you a front-row seat to more than 300 years of history. For our listeners, newspapers.com has a special offer. Use the code CUPOFMURDER for an exclusive 20% discount on your subscription. That's promo code CUPOFMURDER at newspapers.com. Sign up today and start unraveling the true crime mysteries that keep you up at night.
There were two more murders 15 miles away.
When police arrived, they found the telephones and electricity lines.
We have a weird homicide.
A scene described by one investigator as reminiscent of a weird
morning.
Cup of murder.
You never know what advancement in technology could completely shatter a cold case wide open. On March 28, 1952, a young woman was born who would become the random victim of a dangerous man. A case that went cold for decades, only to be solved by advancing technologies and investigators who kept valuable evidence. So if you like your coffee hot but your bones chilled, sit back and start your day with a morning cup of murder. Dawn Lee Swan was born on March 28, 1952, in Corunna, Michigan, and graduated from high school in 1970. At some point, she married a man named Don Magyar, her high school boyfriend, and together, the couple were described as idyllic, happy, and madly in love with both each other and their new son, who by January of 1973 had just celebrated his first birthday. However, all that happiness came to an abrupt end when, on January 27th, 1973, 20-year-old Don went out grocery shopping and was never seen alive ever again. Last seen by a friend who chatted with her in the checkout line of an Owosso, Michigan supermarket, Don never made it back home, and worried, her husband reported her missing to the local police. The following day, they found the truck that Don borrowed from a family friend abandoned in the shopping center parking lot, bagged groceries still sitting inside, and finding the keys scattered near the vehicle, police worried that the young mother was forcibly abducted while trying to get back into the truck and head home just 20 minutes away. That's around the time that a total of 4,000 local volunteers hit the ground running in hopes of finding Don Magyar alive and well. But when two brothers went out tapping maple trees on the family farm in Saginaw County on March 4th and found a female's body, all those hopes came crashing down as the remains were positively identified as belonging to Dawn. According to the medical examiner, Dawn was raped and then shot three times in the head and back with a .22 caliber firearm, likely just about 90 minutes after being abducted. Later determining two bullets were Remington brand and the other Winchester, some of the sources do claim that the shots actually landed in the victim's abdomen. Regardless, in June of 1974, a .22 caliber revolver believed to be the murder weapon, was recovered from the Shiawassee River containing three spent rounds that matched to the bullets that killed Dawn. Traced to a pawn shop in Yuma, Arizona, investigators were able to pinpoint the gun's ownership to a man named Robert Shaw, who purchased it back in 1965. Then, in 1976, Dawn's wallet and identification were found on the bank of that same river, confirming that the found gun was likely the murder weapon. And though things remained cold for many years, in 1995, the state police decided to reactivate the case in hopes of finally landing on some answers, especially with the advancements in DNA analysis. Using the semen samples found on Dawn's body and kept all these years, the Michigan State Police DNA lab in East Lansing arranged for testing on the material as well as testing at an independent laboratory. Creating a profile, one that could be compared to all the men in Dawn's life, in 1998, they finally managed to track down Robert Shaw, the gun owner, and ask about the weapon. He told officers that he did indeed own the gun they found in the river, but that he lost it many years before the murder. Cleared with the DNA comparisons, a few years later, Robert came back to the police and said he remembered that, soon after his divorce, his ex-wife dated a man named Gerald Leroy Wingert, who then had access to his missing firearm. Wanting to turn over every stone, police started looking into Gerald and found that, at the age of 20, the then-married engineering student at the University of Michigan had been convicted of raping a blind female student, as well as the robbery of her escort in Ann Arbor Township. Serving 8 years in prison, he was released in 1969 and began working as a long-haul trucker, hopping from state to state. They also learned that, around the time of Dawn's murder, Gerald had been in Owosso visiting a friend. And though they were unable to find any direct links between the two, investigators suggested that maybe Gerald had been at the store that day, or at least at the shopping center parking lot, when he saw Dawn Bagyar and randomly chose her as his victim. Now 60 years old and living in Michigan with his fourth wife, a father and highly respected member of his community, police were able to obtain Gerald's DNA from a discarded cigarette butt and ran it through the system to compare it to the evidence left on Dawn's body all those years ago. It was a match. And on March 7th, 2001, Gerald Leroy Wingert was arrested and charged with the murder of Dawn Lee Swan Magyar. Brought to trial in November of that same year, Gerald claimed that he had consensual sex with Dawn that day, hence the DNA found on her body, but was refuted by the experts who testified that the sample was left in the time period between her kidnapping and her time of death. On November 27, 2001, Gerald was found guilty of first-degree felony murder and premeditated murder. He was sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole in 2002, and in both 2003 and 2004, his appeals were denied. At the time of his conviction, Gerald was under investigation for the deaths of young women and other crimes committed in Washtenaw and Ionia counties over the course of about 10 years' time. Like the case of 16-year-old Laura Mae McVeigh's murder in Hubbardston, Michigan, that, though arrested and charged at the time, the case against Gerald was dismissed after it was found that the police violated his rights during their search for evidence. In 2004, police said that they expected to make use of the advances in DNA analysis and other technologies to see if Gerald Wingert could be connected to any other cases. But in looking at his prison records, it doesn't seem like any other charges were ever brought up against him. They list him as discharged on August 20th, 2022, and some sources say that he died while in prison. Thank you for joining me in my morning cup of murder. Please join me again tomorrow to hear a terrible thing happened on March 29th. Don't forget to rate and subscribe and let me know how you like it. If you want to help support the podcast, there's always Patreon or just sharing it with your true crime obsessed friends. And remember, stay safe.